This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hour number three of the Hoffman Show here on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Always streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. You can watch us live every single day there. Of course, if you miss any part of the show, you can rewind on that. You can rewind on the Odyssey app, or you can check out the Hoffman Show podcast, available, you know, wherever you get yours. Right now, it is time for our NFL tier rankings because, well, that's what we do on Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Every single Tuesday, we rank every single team in the NFL, and we do it not power ranking style, because that's frankly a bit silly. It's kind of hard to do. There's just too many teams, and it's like, oh, is Team X really better than Team Y? And you wind up doing some of that silly nonsense. So Anthony and I created four categories: prime contenders, puncher's chance, interesting but not quite good enough, and no chance in hell, which is to say the prime contenders you would have to be not surprised to see in the Super Bowl. Puncher's chance, hey, we're not surprised to see them make the playoffs, but probably not going to do damage there, but maybe. Interesting, but not quite good enough. Max out at a wild card team, but you're definitely not doing anything beyond that. And then no chance in hell, that team ain't sniffing the playoffs. That team, no, absolutely no. Poopsville. Thumbs down. Any questions, Anthony?
No, sir.
I'd hope not. This is the third year we've been doing this.
Yeah.
Okay. It is time. If you'll hit the music, please. Because normally I hit the music, but I'm operating from home today because navigating Washington, D.C. today. So a lot of stuff going on. Prime contenders time. Kansas City Chiefs. That's the first team on the prime contenders list, Anthony. They haven't lost yet.
Yeah.
I think they get to stay.
And the rich got richer. They got Josh Uche.
Yeah.
Defensive end.
Belichick. Of course, this is one of Belichick's guys. He coached him in New England last year. He's like, I don't think the Chiefs gave up anything. Belichick is just crushing the Patriots for everything they do right now.
Yeah. Everything.
He's a salty man. Well, I don't blame him. And it's also easy to punch the Patriots right now because they ain't going to punch back. The rich get richer. They're figuring out ways to win, even though they got dudes going down to injury and all this kind of stuff. Mahomes ain't even playing like amazing football, but always does enough. Their defense is sick. Chiefs 7-0. They're a prime contender. We got a team that's lost. That's next. The Baltimore Ravens lost to the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, that loss.
Lost a division game on the road.
Yes, they did.
And it was an emotional day in Cleveland. I would be no less surprised if the Ravens made the Super Bowl today than I would last Friday based off how this weekend went. Now, if something else goes wrong, okay. They also added someone today, Deontay Johnson, so they got another receiver. The Ravens are still great. They might be the best team in football still. Is there a team that you are more scared of any given week than the Baltimore Ravens?
No.
That's incorrect. The Detroit Lions are absolute murderers right now. But the Baltimore Ravens, who would you pick in a Lions-Ravens game? That's a fun one.
The Ravens.
I think it would depend on who's home. I'd pick the home team.
Okay.
That's a 3-point spread depending on who the home team is.
I mean,
an even line or neutral field.
Considering the Ravens literally dropped like five interceptions against the Browns.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to make the play. You're right.
Who makes plays all the time? The Lions. They put 52 points on the Titans. And I realize it's the Titans,
yep,
but it's 52 points in the NFL. And that's the kind of performances offensively they're putting up on the regular.
Yeah.
All right. The Vikings and Packers were our last two teams in prime contenders. Oh, the Lions are in here too. They're not going anywhere. Okay, cool. Good Lions discussion. The Vikings and the Packers. Vikings have all of a sudden lost two in a row. One was to the Lions, and they got the Lions hangover. That has been a thing. You play the Lions, you lose the next week. They also lost to a Rams team on Thursday Night Football. They got Puka and Cooper Kupp back.
Mm-hmm.
Do we believe any less in the Vikings now that they are 5-2, I believe, compared to where we were earlier in the season?
I don't think their defense is as feared as previously thought. I think we give them a week. I think we give those guys a week, allow the defense to rebound. They have the Colts actually on Sunday Night Football. They're playing against a 40-year-old quarterback, so I expect them to take care of business. And if not, then I think it's time for them to go down.
I already moved them down.
I didn't even see it.
Yep, I snuck it in on you. Here's the reason they're going down. Did we really believe in the Minnesota Vikings?
Sam Darnold played pretty good.
Like, I'm not saying they're not good, but are they on the level of the Chiefs, the Ravens, and the Lions?
No,
they never have been. The thing is, they kept winning, so we had to put them up there. Yeah. And at some point, you have to go, well, I don't know, maybe this team has got something to them. Maybe Sam Darnold really is this much better. But at the end of the day, like, I don't – like, Brian Flores is really good. A defense that's that aggressive, that's a razor's edge, man, and it's going to backfire eventually. Mm-hmm. They are, to me, the definition of a puncher's chance team. They are definitely good. They are definitely dangerous. Darnold, if he gets hot, like, that dude can cook. Obviously, you throw it to JJ, he can make a million things happen. But are they really a team you trust week in and week out? Prime contenders. Would you be surprised if they wound up in the Super Bowl? I would. They're puncher's chance to me.
Yeah, it's probably going to take them beating the Packers, the Lions, in their division later this season. So I guess we'll revisit it later, but perfectly said.
All right. Green Bay Packers. Jordan Love can't stay healthy. And we've insulated the Packers before because of the fact that Jordan Love was in and out of the lineup. They won. It was closer than it should have been. Malik Willis throws the walk-off, or not the walk-off, but throws a touchdown pass to seal it at the end.
Yeah.
How do we feel about the Packers? This is the one I'm a little bit washier on, because I think I believe in them more long-term, but I don't know that they belong up here.
Maybe not at this juncture. Maybe when, because I don't know if he'll be out or not.
We don't know, but like, he's not playing good ball. And it was like, okay, Jordan Love's out. Okay, Jordan Love's back, but he's rusty. Like, eventually we just got to go. Jordan Love is not having the season that he had last year.
But dude, they're winning, though, Craig. They're winning. It's the same reason for the Chiefs.
It's like, this is why we have the definitions. Prime contenders? How many there are teams that we have not mentioned yet that I would pick over the Packers this week. So let's do it. The Washington Commanders won on a Hail Mary. They also dominated that game for 3.5 quarters. Their defenses look significantly better, and Jaden Daniels is a top 3 MVP candidate, no matter how you slice it. We've resisted this long, but they just keep playing, like, down in, down out, they're playing phenomenal football. And they went toe-to-toe with Baltimore. I know that they definitely got outplayed in that game, but like, they found ways to be punchy. They found ways to keep it close, and they never back down. They have the mentality that it takes to play with these teams. And I know that they're understaffed. I know that defensively there's to be desired in the secondary and in the pass rush. But, like, would they definitively have the least nice house in the prime contender neighborhood? Yes. But I think it's time, man. They're 6-2 and number 2 in the NFC. And is there another team? There's one other team in puncher's chance right now that I want to move up. But is there another team in that list that we're going to go through here in a second that you would say is better than Washington? How many teams in puncher's chance that right now, looking at that list that I know, realize not everyone can see, but we'll go through them in a second. How many teams on a neutral field would you pick over Washington right now on that list?
I can definitively say one.
One, and it's the other team that we're going to move up, right?
The Steelers?
No.
I'm moving this. I think the Steelers are a better team than the Commanders right now.
Nah.
But I know the team you're talking about. I really, really like the Steelers, though.
Okay, you really like the Steelers. I would pick Washington on a neutral field.
Okay.
It's tough. And, like, maybe the version of the Commanders that finished the game on Sunday with Trent Scott at tackle, I'm not picking.
Yeah.
That's a different story, right? But if their O-line is okay injury-wise... What? They're 6-2, man. What are we waiting for?
The Steelers are too.
Okay, well, maybe we need to talk about the Steelers too.
Okay. All right, that's fair.
The other team gets to go up automatically.
I agree, though. I do think it is time to move the Commanders up to answer your question, because that was the ultimate question.
Yes. So the Commanders are up. We'll see how they respond against New York this weekend. We'll see what they do. Maybe that Pittsburgh matchup in 2 weeks is a, hey, who gets to stay up game. But I think Washington, and also, like, look, if we look at it through the definition of are we surprised in the Super Bowl, the Lions are then the only team that's up there. We're going to put one NFC team in prime contenders?
Nah.
Like, who? What your path is matters to an extent. It's because of how we've done these silly definitions. Just enforcing the rules. The other team that's automatically going up is the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
I talked about this a couple weeks ago. I think they were due for one of these Buffalo Bills heaters where they look like the best team in football for a month. They dismantled the Seattle Seahawks. They are for real, for real. They've already made some moves with getting Amari Cooper in. They could make more. The Bills, your prime contenders. Congratulations. Which leaves a conversation about the Pittsburgh Steelers next. We'll get into that and see who goes up, who goes down in the rest of the league. But first, let's get an update on the latest in the world of women's sports presented by Wawa. Gotta have a Wawa.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Continuing with our NFL tier rankings. So, the prime contenders so far are the Kansas City Chiefs, Baltimore Ravens, Detroit Lions, Buffalo Bills, Washington Commanders, and Anthony, please lay out the case for the Pittsburgh Steelers being added to our top tier.
First of all, the Steelers are also 6-2. Defensively, they've been stout all season long. And Russell Wilson, he has come back. He's played in two games, and he has that Steelers offense humming. The run game is going. He's getting his playmakers involved. Calvin Austin had a big night last night. George Pickens continues to have a good season. So I think just as they are, or even before Russ came back, they were okay. They were 4-2. They were okay. But now with Russ back, the offense is humming, and the defense is also still cooking. I think they're one of the teams flying under the radar in terms of, you know, teams to look out for in the NFL season.
Here's the thing. I don't really trust their playmakers long term because George Pickens has proven himself unworthy of being trusted. I don't really trust Russ long term because he's Russell Wilson, play tends to fluctuate. I kind of think there's a ceiling on this team. Najee's really good. Like, Russ is definitely, like, more than competent. I mean, even last year, like, his numbers were pretty good in Denver. I realized they wasn't doing what they wanted and there was a whole bunch of other stuff, but at the end of the day, their defense is nasty. Their offense is good enough to compete in any game with that defense being nasty. I'm not going to get celebratory over a win over the Giants, but I think you're correct. I think if the Commanders are up, the Steelers go up, and then we'll see how these two teams match up in a couple of weeks. FedEx Field on November 10th. Yeah.
Yep.
November 10th. Steelers are up. Okay, so puncher's chance is the Packers and Vikings, who we got moved down. The Texans, not very impressive. They lose Stephon Diggs, but they still have C.J. Stroud. They still have a defense that's can make some plays. I think they stay in puncher's chance. Eagles, congratulations. You played good football. I think that's good. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Anthony, I think, sadly, we have to move them down, which I say sadly because, man, is Baker playing his face off. Man, do they try hard. Man, is there a lot to like there. But I think with Godwin done for the season and with Evans out for who knows how long, I think they literally they're interesting but not quite good enough, and that is actually the next category down,
yep.
And thus that is where they belong.
Yeah, I think that's fair. They just don't have enough horses. Two of your lead guys get hurt. Your defense has been banged up all season. Like, we're just waiting and waiting and waiting for people to get healthy, and they just haven't yet. So I think that's fair.
The Seattle Seahawks, Anthony. I'm willing to let them – they got housed by the Bills. I'm willing to let them stay to see what happens this week, but also kind of because I think they're a different team with DK Metcalf. That's my – hey, if they can get DK back, could they make a little baby playoff run? Yeah, maybe, but I don't know. Your face disagrees.
Yeah.
You're just ready to say screw it. They go down.
Yeah, I would be willing to put a team in their division or move a team in their division up than keep those guys there.
I think I know who you're talking about. We'll get there in a second.
Yep.
Okay, so Seahawks down. The Atlanta Falcons, they won. I still don't trust them on a week-in, week-out basis.
Nope, not at all.
But they are puncher's chancy as puncher's chancy gets. Their yep. good is really good. Their bad is throw something. Okay, last but not least, the team's currently in puncher's chance. We had said if the Bears beat the Commanders, they get to stay up. Did they do enough? Did they show you enough with that defense that is legitimately fantastic to stay up in puncher's chance?
No. Caleb Williams coming off the bye, I expected him to be a little bit more sharper, and he just didn't look sharp at all. And if he's not going to play well, the offense isn't going to do all that well. Like, the defense continues to play good enough. They haven't allowed a team to score over 20 points this season or something like that.
Yeah, it so, goes back to last season.
Yeah, the defense is playing good. The offense needs to do their part, and you have the playmakers to do that. And it starts at the quarterback position. So, no, I don't think they've done enough.
Yeah, Caleb's inconsistency is a problem, but they also just don't play with it. Like, they don't have a good plan or urgency on offense, yeah. And that's a problem. But their defense is so good that like playing them would suck. Like, I don't want the Commanders to have to play them again just because it feels like it could be miserable. I don't know. Commanders also could have put 30 on them. So, yeah, Bears, okay, you're down. The San Francisco 49ers, they get a win on Sunday Night Football, Anthony. I still think I need a little more consistency yep. for them, and the Dallas Cowboys are not that impressive. So
I agree.
The Denver Broncos, they beat the Carolina Panthers. Good job. We'll come back to the team that's listed in the document next because I'm excited for them. The Los Angeles Rams, though, is that the team that you said in their division might need to get moved up to puncher's chance?
Yeah, I think I will be a little bit more comfortable putting those guys up into puncher's chance. I think early yesterday – is today Tuesday? Yeah, today is Tuesday. Yesterday you had read off some stat, or maybe it was Friday, where you said when Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, Kyren Williams all playing a game together. They have
like
one
the best
of the
offense,
best offense
yeah,
ever.
In the last 20 years.
Yeah, something
yeah,
along
crazy.
Those lines. So I think if they continue to be healthy, they're going to be a tough out. I would not want to play those guys in the wild card. And I
no.
think they could go on a run if they are in the wild card. So I think they will be a team I think has a puncher chance. Offense alone.
Yeah, their defense is playing. Part of me wants to go one more week. But I also think you're just right. Like, let's just do it. Let's yeah. just screw it. Rams, congratulations. You graduated up to puncher's chance. What about the other LA team, the Chargers? They dismantled the New Orleans Saints. Now, the Saints came into that game partially dismantled, so they just kind of finished the job. What do we make of what the Chargers are doing? I don't know they have enough offensively. Like, defensively, I don't really trust them. I think if they win one more, I'm going to put an asterisk, I think, is where
yeah.
I'm at with the Chargers. Do we agree with the asterisk,
yeah,
which is to
I
say
love it.
You better revisit this next week?
Yeah, I love the asterisk. Yeah, they need a little bit more offense. They play solid. Like, if solid was a perfect way to describe a team, that is the LA Chargers. Like, they're not too good. They're not too bad. They're just solid.
Yeah.
I don't really know.
The Colts with Joe Flacco might be solid. They're interesting, but not quite good enough. They stay. They bench Richardson. We're going to talk more about that next.
Yeah.
The Bengals.
They lost last week, right?
They sure did.
Yep.
Do we need to move them down to Poopsville? It's just hard for me to put a team with Joe Burrow at quarterback down in the no chance.
Yeah, I don't think they belong down there just yet. Maybe a week or two. Maybe a week, actually.
Yeah. Okay.
One more week. Uh-oh.
Yeah, one more week of losses. Then I mean, at that point, they'd be like 2-7. So, yeah. Like, what are we doing?
Season's
the
over.
Cardinals, they're scrappy all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I don't think that they're that interesting, but they're scrappy. They beat Miami in a game that they didn't really have any business winning.
Nope.
I do think that it's worth pointing out at least this. We were talking about this in a break yesterday. The Commanders snatched the Cardinals. Just absolutely broke their will to play football. That is an impressive win because the Cardinals are not a team that is easily broken. And I said that at the time, and then I think they lost the next week, and people were like, the Cardinals, that's not a very good win. The Cardinals are 4-4 and are a tough football team.
Yep.
And the Commanders broke them. Like, that is a good piece of evidence for Washington. I still think I'm going to put an asterisk. Actually, I'm going to put the little carrot sign next to them, which is to say, because it's like an up arrow.
Yeah,
I'm going to do the same thing for the Chargers. That's a, hey, if you win and you look good this week, you get to go up.
Winning in.
The Dolphins, I'm willing to give them one more week with Tua in the interesting category.
Yeah.
If they lose next week, you're dead.
Yeah. I agree.
The Dallas Cowboys. Are we ready? I think it's too early to put them down, but
yeah.
they're on life support.
They're trending
as well.
Down. Yeah.
It's not good. But also, like, if they can get Micah back and they can get some, they're injury plagued on some level, especially defensively. One more team that is worth talking about in the interesting but not quite good enough category that we need to consider going down.
Oh, man. I don't think we need to consider it. I think
New York Jets, one way ticket to Poopsville. Yep. Y'all suck. I hate you. And this makes me so happy. I'm putting you at the bottom of Poopsville. You're going below the New Orleans Saints because you deserve it. Because
oh
you handed your entire franchise over to a guy who wasn't that good in his last year in Green Bay and spends his offseason in dark caves instead of at OTAs with his teammates. Goodbye. You're in no chance. They joined the Raiders who stay, the Jags who stay, the Patriots who, despite beating the Jets, stay, the Panthers, the Titans, the Giants, and the Saints. The one team I didn't mention there that is currently in Poopsville, but because of the injury at quarterback, where they all of a sudden look better with their backup, are the Browns interesting at least now? Do we move them back up?
Yeah, you get Chubb back. Jameis obviously is an upgrade at the quarterback position. So yeah, I'll say this.
I don't actually believe in the Browns.
I don't
at
either.
All.
I don't.
But if you beat the Ravens, you beat a prime contender, you get to come out of the basement and play with the rest of the children for 1 week, and then we're gonna send you back down when you inevitably lose again. Okay. Yeah. That's the NFL tiers. Read them and weep. We'll update this again next Tuesday. And of course, we'll pick every single game of the NFL slate at 5:30 on Friday. When we get back here on the Hoffman Show, ton of NFL news. We'll go around the NFL next on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. You miss any part of the show? Make sure you check out the Hoffman Show podcast, where you can check out, if you're just tuning in, which you just missed, the NFL tier rankings. And we have finally moved the Washington Commanders into the top tier. Coming up in a few minutes, we have Real Things Real People Said into real microphones, where you'll hear from Commanders wide receiver Noah Brown. He was on Grant and Danny today down the hall at 106.7 The Fan, and so we'll play you a little bit of that interview, which you can also check out in the free Odyssey app by searching Grant and Danny in your favorite podcast platform. Boys, as you get in your cars and drive home, you're welcome for your podcast plug on your side of things. I will say, real quick though, Anthony, a lot of NFL news today. Whole lot of NFL news today. Deontay Johnson to the Ravens. I think that's a good, it's an interesting piece for them. I think one of the things the Ravens have been searching for, and they've kind of used Zay Flowers as this, is a deep threat. They need to make sure that there's a threat to keep defenses honest that opens up all the rushing lanes for Lamar and for Derrick Henry. And so I think what Deontay Johnson brings is a speed element that allows them to use him in some of those roles with a legit deep threat, and then have Zay Flowers be more the underneath guy in the way that he killed Washington with 8 catches and 100 whatever yards in the first half on all these crossing routes and things like that. Or they could interchange those guys, because Johnson plays quite a bit in the slot. And so they can also use him on some of those intermediate and crossing routes and underneath stuff and send Zay deep. And it just gives them more team speed, which I know sounds crazy that you need more team speed on a team with Lamar Jackson. But I think at that receiver position, they were lacking some of that. And I think that this helps fill that hole, which makes arguably the best offense in the NFL even scarier. Somehow that's horrifying. Thank God Washington already played them.
Yeah, I think they were hoping Rashad Bateman was that guy. He had an embarrassing drop. I'm talking about he's so wide open. I guess maybe the sun got into his eyes. He couldn't really see.
Yeah, that's what the word was. And I give Lamar credit. He's like, yeah, I didn't talk to him about it, but that sun was glaring today.
Yeah, so maybe that's in part to, you know, why they make the move, but it is scary being able to, you know, or having to check a Zay Flowers and a Deontay Johnson. Again, Deontay doesn't get enough credit for the route runner he is. So
yeah, he's very, very good route runner. The thing with him, though, and why I wasn't as interested the more I watched him here,
right?
Is, yeah, he's not super consistent with his effort, like snap in, snap out, you know, whatever. But, like, the Ravens have been great about getting that out of people. That's kind of the way they do business there. And I think some teams, from a culture standpoint, will say, we'll bring a guy in and we can get it out of him. And that doesn't always work. Where the Commanders' approach is more of, if you don't have that, we're not bringing you in. And that's a much, like, it's less risk and potentially less reward because Deontay Johnson's very, very talented. But it should be said that that doesn't always work. And if Deontay Johnson is out there and not maybe, you know, blocking his face off for Derrick Henry and he costs Derrick Henry a big carry, like, how's that going to go over? And maybe it happens once and John Harbaugh rips him a new one in a film session and that's that. But it is the kind of thing where there is an urgency to every single player on the Washington roster that would not be matched if you turned on Deontay Johnson's tape in Carolina. And I think what Baltimore's betting on is, it's hard to have a lot of urgency and play at a high level when you know your team stinks. And man, the Carolina Panthers are a bad football team.
Yeah, and I would think even for Deontay himself, being with a Carolina team, I think you would appreciate, you know, going to a franchise like the Baltimore Ravens. Yeah, you would think.
This was an issue in Pittsburgh for him. And maybe he was younger in Pittsburgh. Now he's got a greater appreciation because he went to Carolina. He's like, oh, wait, get me back. Get me back to competition.
Yeah.
And maybe that's it. But it's a risk.
Yep.
But one that very well could pay off. He's very, very talented. The other big NFL story of the day is your Indianapolis Colts, Anthony, are going to Joe Flacco. 40 years old, playing quarterback. He's replacing Anthony Richardson at the very least for this week. We'll see about moving forward. And I understand what a lot of NFL smart people are saying online, and especially draft types. I've seen a lot of like draft Knicks being like, oh, they took him fourth overall. They knew he needed reps. How are you benching him? And what I would say is you're a little too into your own notes. Not that I liked Anthony Richardson coming out. I thought that some of the mechanical stuff could get cleaned up. I think that the arm, like the athlete, the potential, I listened to a couple interviews and I was like, he seems like a sharp enough guy. And then you watch the way this is going in the league, and I just don't know that these are productive reps for him. I think it might be more beneficial to sit behind a Joe Flacco and watch Joe operate the offense and continue to practice, hopefully at a high level. Potentially have some learning experiences of watching what it's like, you know, to play at that level. And I don't know what he's like in the building, obviously, but clearly there's some stuff there that they're not super psyched about. And I wonder if the locker room's also upset. And I'm not asking you to spill secrets because one of your best friends is a player on the team. So don't say anything that's going to get you in trouble here.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've talked to Z about any of this or whatever. But like the point is like, If a quarterback taps out of the game for a play because he's tired, I'd imagine that doesn't sit super well in the locker room. So to all the draft people out there, like, yes, they took a guy they knew was going to be a project. Sometimes the project doesn't need to happen in front of the eyes of the rest of us. Sometimes the reps don't need to happen in front of us. And like Pat Mahomes was a project, but by the time he hit the field, he wasn't quite as much of a project anymore because he sat behind Alex Smith and he saw as it was supposed to be done. And I think the hope here in Indianapolis is not like, oh, we know we messed up, we got to punt on Anthony Richardson forever. It's let's let Anthony Richardson watch Joe Flacco play quarterback, and then hopefully that makes Anthony Richardson a better quarterback and we can salvage our project.
Yeah, I think that's perfectly said. I was actually talking to, so I wasn't talking to Zaire. I was talking to my other line brothers or frat brothers that primarily watched the Colts, and I was being a little hyperbolic, you know, about the whole situation because I'm like, dang, is it over for Anthony Richardson? And my line brother, he just had to, you know, calm me down a little bit and make me realize maybe he does just need to sit back again. This guy only played 15 games in college. Yes,
he was
needs
the youngest player in the draft.
Uh-huh. Yes, he is. He's young, and yes, he only played 15 games, but he's immature to an extent. Like, being able to, like, tap your helmet, like, out of the game. You're the quarterback guy. You cannot tap your helmet no matter, like, what you just did. Yes, you just ran 20, 30 yards, but, bro, you're the quarterback. And in sports in general, like, it's not even just playing at the highest level. In sports in general, if you're the guy on any of your teams, I know when I've been the guy, I can't afford to, you know, tap out. I'm going through everything. I could have a sprained ankle. I could have a hurt pinky. I'm not tapping out of those games because I realize.
You've never been paid to play sports.
I haven't been paid to play sports. But I'm just saying, to tap out on a third and goal, like, you can't do that. And just even just watching, like, him play and progress the last two seasons, like, the fact that he's still being super inconsistent with his throws and things of that nature, I think it's going to take some time. And I think, you know, him sitting back, watching Joe Flacco, a Super Bowl champion, a veteran in this league, a guy that took the Browns to the playoffs last season, I think he'll be able to learn from some of that stuff and grow from it ultimately. So,
yeah, and that's the hope, right, is that maybe he's a little more Mahomesian in the path or Rodgers or some of these guys that have sat. Like, it doesn't mean that it's over. Yes, it's embarrassing in the moment, so to speak. If it works out, who cares? Who cares? You have to do what you think is right, and they think this is right, whether it's for the locker room, for Richardson, or for both. And there's a good chance it's both. Maybe they're wrong. I'm not saying it's 100%, but the fact that people are like, oh my God, he needs reps. How could they bench him? I'm like, did you watch him play this weekend? Dude's not ready to play NFL football. It's very, very clear, and that's okay to admit. The goal is to help him get ready to play NFL football. So do what you got to do that. Those are the big NFL stories of the day. When we get back, we let you hear from Commanders wide receiver Noah Brown as part of Real Things Real People Said into Real Microphones. It's the Hoffman Show, wrapping up here on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Breaking news just a moment ago, fresh to the inbox. Wizards injury update. Wizards forward Kyle Kuzma sustained a right groin strain in the fourth quarter of last night's game in Atlanta. Kuzma's recovery status will be updated as appropriate. So, I don't know what that means, Anthony. It means there's no day-to-day, week-to-week. Just says updated as appropriate. I wonder if there's further imaging that perhaps needs to be done to see the severity here. So, the update is that Kyle Kuzma left the game with the right groin strain, and we don't know anymore. So, that's that from last night. Favorite part of the show today, Anthony. What'd you like from today's show?
Oh, my favorite part of the show was definitely our guy Emery's call.
Oh, my God, that was great.
I felt like he had a very heartfelt personal story / reaction to the Commanders winning.
He definitely had a personal story. I think calling it heartfelt is a one step too far.
Okay.
That's
how he made it seem, though.
But it was like, that was kind of the funny thing. He was like, yeah, me and my dad don't really get along. We're like, ah, we'll watch the Commanders game together because he just had a stroke. And it's like, okay. Like, I feel like this could have been part one of what could ultimately be a heartfelt story.
Okay.
But he's making an attempt. And Emery, I'm proud of you for doing that.
Yeah.
That's that the attempt at healing, you never get it without trying. So, good job, Emery. I should have just left it at heartfelt.
It was good. That was my favorite part, though.
It was a great storyteller.
Yeah.
Worth the listen. End of the 4 o'clock hour. It's how we ended the 4 o'clock hour. That was really fun. People really enjoyed me talking about my pettiness off the top of the show. Although I'm telling you, I'm not doing that on a regular basis. But as I said yesterday, show's entertainment. If you insert yourself into the show, you might just become entertainment. It's out. How
that's,
it goes.
That's how I be sometimes, man.
Anthony's experienced that.
Hey, look.
I've done it to myself before.
Now you have.
Tomorrow, by the way, speaking of entertainment, go Competition ahead. Wednesday.
It is. Are we doing the thing?
What thing?
The ice bath.
Yeah, we need to do that.
What time?
Are we doing it? Are we going to do it tomorrow?
Do we have a meeting tomorrow?
We do have a meeting tomorrow.
All right, tomorrow is not going to work for me. I have something to do at 12:30. So it's a tight little window.
Oh, because we were going to do, where were we going to do it? Somewhere
Navy
close
Yard.
By?
Yeah, around the corner.
Okay.
Literally around the corner.
So maybe the following Wednesday.
Okay. Bet. Say no more.
Because then.
I'm going to be so scared.
Because then we can do it and then go to work and we won't have a meeting because our meetings are every other week. Okay.
All right.
And depending on what happens tomorrow, maybe someone will have to buy someone else lunch afterwards.
True.
I don't. I at this point, I don't know who won.
I don't either. I haven't even looked.
We will see if the wheel is behind Anthony or if it gets wheeled back into my side tomorrow at 5:30. Any other housekeeping? Yates tomorrow on the World Series. I hope. I got to check in with him. I guess it might depend on what happens tonight. We'll get obviously hear from Jaden and hear from DQ tomorrow. Uh-huh. I think we're going to get Sanders still later this week. I'm working out the timing, but I think that's going to be a Thursday bit.
All right.
And then Dave Johnson. Oh, that's what I have to do tomorrow before the show. I got to make Dave's new intro.
Okay.
So tomorrow.
I'll remind you tomorrow.
Yeah, we also got to figure out the timing because 6:15, typically we'd be doing.
We are our
pick six
early tomorrow.
So we gotta figure out the timing. We did it last year. We'll go back in our notes.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's let people hear from Noah Brown.
Real things.
We're not gonna be f-ing this year.
Real people.
5-11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
Alrighty then. Noah Brown, Commanders wide receiver, was on Grant and Danny today, and they started off by asking him, hey, after you caught the most famous play of the NFL weekend, how many calls and texts did you, Noah Brown, have by Sunday night, Monday morning?
Man, too many to count. Too many to count. My phone was kind of malfunctioning when I got back to it. But, you know, it's been crazy. It's been a blessing, and I'm glad we were able to get the dub.
That's really funny. At first I was like, Noah, they tell you how many. There's a little red dot next to it. But I wonder if he's one of those guys that's got 1,000 texts to start with. And so,
yep.
Like, I would know. Like, I literally just got a text from someone, and my little green message icon, just now it's got one next to it in the little red dot.
Nice.
Nice and easy. Actually, it's one of the Commander's PR staffers helping me schedule Mike Sanders still.
Oh,
for
there it is.
So we'll get that all straightened away. Did Noah Brown notice that Tyreek Stevenson, the man who now Matt Eberflus has said was supposed to be behind covering Noah on that play and was yapping at fans for the first 5 seconds after the ball was snapped, that Tyreek, and by the way, tipped the ball into Noah's hands because he didn't do his job and he did someone else's and did it poorly. Did he notice that Tyreek Stevenson was not paying attention?
No, actually, I was unaware of that until after the game. You know, with the Hail Mary being such a long play, the ball snapped. I just put my head down and started sprinting to the end zone. But really, no vision of what was in front of me until I got to about like the 10-15, and I looked up and tried to get in position. But by that time, I think he was playing the play. But, you know, I didn't notice.
Now, Brown looked to be very calm after the Hail Mary. Now, sometimes I think that can be deceiving because they got helmets on and he could be like screaming and we can't really tell. But it appeared that he was calm. So why was he so calm if he was actually calm?
To be honest, just blur of the moment, really. I don't even think when I first caught it and scored, it fully registered what just happened until after Terry had jumped on me. Then you see I start jumping around. It was kind of just a surreal moment.
It's kind of funny how players black out. I remember, I think it was Mecole Hardman when he caught the game-winning walk-off pass in the Super Bowl in overtime. he like didn't really celebrate.
Yeah.
Until Travis Kelce was like, hey, dum-dum, we just won the Super Bowl.
The moment is truly too big to like be thinking that though, Craig. Like,
I guess. I mean, I've never been in a moment like that.
Me either.
Every game winner I've ever hit, I've been fully aware. But it's a little, I guess it's a little different when you're playing 11 than it is a game like that. You notice it pretty quick when the whole stadium erupts, though. What was it like to experience that as the guy that everyone was yelling at slash for?
Yeah, I mean, that's the type of thing you dream about as a kid, to be a part of a moment like that. It's definitely a blessing that I was able to be a part of it. But, yeah, I mean, that's a feeling. Just like the fans will never forget that I'll never forget being in that stadium and pulling out a tough win with my brothers and being able to celebrate that with them is something I won't forget.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it. If you want more from this interview from Grant Danny and Commanders wide receiver Noah Brown, you can check out their podcast feed. Also, they asked him about comparisons between Daniels and Stroud, so you'll be able to hear that in the full interview. Again, we'll have Mike Sander still on later in the week. Looking forward to that. We got Terps Talk with Kevin Willard now here on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.